My guest tonight, first off, is going to be Dr. Syed Haidar. You're going to find out about this internist who is working to try to save the lives of Americans because apparently big corporate pharmacy and the United States Postal Service wants to see lots of people dead. I did say apparently. Because why else would you stop Americans from being able to get treatments that will cure their issue with Omicron or COVID or COVID-2 or whatever you want to call it? I myself have been treated in the last several days with ivermectin. I can now speak to it. I tried fighting this thing off with my own immune system, just couldn't do it. And so I'm thankful that I have my Jewish ascetic doctor friend, Dr. Zev Zelenko. We've been friends now for almost 2 years. And he was able to prescribe to me ivermectin, along with an antibiotic and zinc. And, of course, he'd have to prescribe zinc. I just had to get it. But the ivermectin opens up the cell. The zinc gets in, kills the virus. Less than 12 hours after getting on this protocol, I was turning the corner. Prior to that, I was flat on my back. Getting up and taking a shower took all the energy I had. I'd have to lay back down and take a nap because all my energy was gone just from getting up and taking a shower. I can't imagine people fighting this thing off without any help unless you're a really young person. If you're a young person like Logan, he fought it off. Within a couple of days, he was fine. Not a problem. We watched other young people fight this off like it was a common cold or less than that. But for some of us, particularly those of us moving into our 50s and older, I'm 52, for some of us, maybe it takes a little more. For me, it certainly did. I'm generally known to have a pretty strong immune system. I come from a family that, quite frankly, has longevity on both sides of the family, meaning I could live well into my 90s. Doesn't that make the left excited? But then again, maybe I won't, because who knows with today's damage that has been done to us through the spike proteins, we don't know what the long-term effect will be on the health of Americans due to this bioweapon that was deliberately spread by the communist Chinese throughout the world. We have no clue what the long-term consequences will be to these spike proteins in our system for those of us that had COVID and now Omicron. Granted, the death rate for this thing is virtually nil. But of course, if you die from it, that's a big deal. We've never denied the seriousness of COVID-19 or Omicron. In fact, we've often said from the very beginning, take this thing very seriously because we didn't know what it was. We were one of the few talk show hosts in America when this was being released in China that was actually covering it. Most, if you go back in the archives and listen to my show, I was one of the first talk show hosts talking about it because I'm a China watcher and I knew what was going on in China before most Americans were talking about it. And then I knew about unrestricted warfare written in 1999 by two communist Chinese colonels. I knew they had a plan to release bioweapons on Americans. So I took it big time seriously, asked my family. But then when we found out what it is, well, we realized it was about protecting the most vulnerable, those with underlying conditions, and those who are getting older. So we've never undermined this. We've always said take it seriously, particularly if you're in that demographic. Well, apparently, I'm in that demographic because I'm into my 50s now. And I can't imagine trying to fight this thing off without ivermectin and the antibiotic that I was able to get. I don't know, maybe I would have fought it off. I don't know. But I wasn't willing to take the chance of it moving into pneumonia and getting into a situation with my oxygen level dropping and having to go to one of America's now Nazi death centers. That would be your local hospital. Because that's exactly what many of these hospitals have become, death centers. They're killing people on purpose. They know what is the right protocol, but they won't do it because they make money doing what Dr. Fauci tells them to do in the NIH and the CDC. And so we have medical doctors, one after the other, that have come on this program telling us, stay away from hospitals. They'll kill you. And I didn't want to get anywhere near a hospital. So I was thankful to go ahead and get onto something and try to get well. But a lot of Americans don't have this option. And apparently now, The United States Postal Service and local pharmacies are making sure Americans don't have ivermectin. Well, one of the doctors trying to see that that is corrected is my guest tonight, Dr. Syed Haider. Doctor, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you.
You want any comment on my opening monologue there?
So I think it's really criminal, honestly, what's happening. They've trampled over in, the Constitution in the last few years, they've trampled over our Bill of Rights in the last couple of years, and now they've set fire to the Nuremberg Code, just completely, tossing it in the trash can. I mean, the first line of the Nuremberg Code is that you need to have, consent, basically informed consent for any kind of experiment. And this is an ongoing experiment on billions of people with the vaccines. Terrible things that are happening, like you said, in the hospitals. None of my patients want to go to the hospital. They just can't get the medications that they need in a hospital. The only way to get a medication that actually works for COVID inside a hospital is to complain of depression, actually. So there's this antidepressant called fluvoxamine that actually works for COVID-19. There's a phase 3 study showing that it leads to a 12 times lower risk of death if you take that compared to taking a placebo. And unfortunately, I mean, I've heard of people actually lying to their doctor and telling them, hey, I'm depressed, or I've been on this before for depression. Can you give it to me now? And they'll give it to you. It's not as if they think these drugs are actually dangerous for COVID patients. You know, these drugs have like 30, 40 year safety profiles. They've been around forever. They've been used in millions of people. In the case of ivermectin, billions of doses have been given. Literally one of the safest drugs in the pharmacopoeia. I can safely just tell anyone to take ivermectin, right? Like the one medicine that might interfere with it is warfarin. And it's really just about checking your warfarin levels and making sure that you don't need to change your warfarin dose. But really, there's nothing that would stop you from taking ivermectin. So
someone who has
really
a heart
important
condition or anything like that, it's not like they, even people with high blood pressure or heart issues, they don't generally have to worry about ivermectin being an issue.
They don't. You know, ivermectin sometimes actually lowers the blood pressure a little bit, but it's not severe. You know, it's a mild lowering. Sometimes it causes some dizziness. You know, the only person I would be a little worried about and would want to watch a little closer would be a really elderly patient who's at risk of falls. You know, sometimes it can cause some dizziness. So, you know, if you have grandma and you're giving her ivermectin, just keep a close eye on her. But if you're in a hospital, I mean, it's like you can give it to anyone in a hospital because they're already monitoring warfarin levels. They're keeping an eye on you, making sure, you know, there's a bed alarm that goes off when you get up. So, people smuggle it in. I actually had a patient come to me and tell me that his father was dying in the hospital. He was on a ventilator. He had been moved out of the ICU because they had just kind of given up. He had a roommate who was also on a ventilator, also dying. So his son smuggled in some ivermectin in like a Gatorade bottle or something and gave it to his father. And his father hid it from the nurses and the doctors and started taking it. He was better and he was out of the hospital in a couple of days. He was being discharged a couple of days later. I mean, just like miraculous, right? His doctors were literally telling his family, "Your dad is dying, say goodbye." And a few days later, he's back on his feet. He's off the ventilator on a little bit of oxygen, being discharged. And his roommate saw all this happen. And he said, "Hey, you got to give me that ivermectin." Okay, what's left of it? His roommate started taking it. Same thing. You know, he's off the ventilator a few days. Now they're fast friends. I mean, it's like the kind of friendship that you can only build in the trenches of war. And that's what this is. You know, it's a war not only on our freedoms, but on our very lives, right? Like our lives are at risk here, you know, from lack of treatment or with the wrong treatment, and the lives of our family, you know, especially the people who are stuck in hospitals and can't get out, right? Like,
let me just say this real quick to the audience, because I should have said this at the beginning. You need to alert your family and friends to tune in right now, not only to listen to what he's saying, but in a few minutes, I'm bringing on attorney Tom Renz, and I'm going to play audio clips. And doctor, I don't know what you're doing after your segment here, but you should tune in because I've spent the last couple hours listening to the arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court today over the vax mandates. I know we're in perilous times in our country, but I am more convinced we're in perilous times when I heard the stupid, ignorant comments coming from the Supreme Court today. I mean,
absolutely.
They may have well been stating that they have seen Bigfoot on the moon. I mean, I seriously, some of the stupid comments coming by the justices from the court today would be the equivalent of saying they believe Bigfoot is roaming around on the moon. And I'm going to play some of these comments today because they should have been hearing from you today. But you clearly have heard some of these comments of coming off the, which I don't, we shouldn't even call it the Supreme Court anymore. I mean, it's the average court, not Supreme.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, they've been brainwashed. I mean, it's just so clear, right? Like, one of them was saying that 100,000 kids are dying in hospitals.
100,000 kids
and
on ventilators. 100,000. They're going to hear the audio, okay, guys?
Yeah.
Again, you need to tweet, text, email, Facebook. I have the notes. I have the minute marks. I had the grueling chore of listening to this claptrap, but I've got it marked up. Attorney Tom Renz will join us, and he's right. One of them said, we got 100,000 kids on ventilators. That's a big lie, right?
Huge lie, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about medical misinformation, disinformation, you know, the disinformation dozen, I mean, you got to put the Supreme Court justices, you know, up there. They're the real people who are, you know, misinforming the American public at this point in time. And they've been misinformed themselves, right? I mean, what do you expect when you kick people off of Twitter? You know, I was kicked off of Twitter. Peter, you know, Robert Malone kicked off of Twitter, you know, the inventor of mRNA vaccine technology. I mean, all kinds of people trying to warn us. And the big tech companies are not allowing us to have a say. You know, they've kicked us out of the public square. First, they took over the public square. You know, they basically own it, right? I mean, where else do you go to talk to other people in public other than Twitter and Facebook?
And right here, now, right?
Yeah, and here. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, what is, you got to go to alternative media.
What is your website? Mygotodoc.com. Mygotodoc.com. Tell me about that website.
Yeah, so what we tried to do, I tried to do some things differently, try to fix some of the problems that people are experiencing. So like you were alluding to before, the USPS is seizing ivermectin at the border that comes from overseas. So a lot of people, you know, they were like, maybe we can get cheap ivermectin from an Indian pharmacy and I don't have to get a doctor's prescription, I don't got to pay the doctor, you know, try to save some money here. And maybe it's, you know, it's a blessing in disguise because it takes like 3 or 4 weeks to get the ivermectin. I've had some patients complain to me that it gives them like chest discomfort. I don't really, you know, I don't think Indians themselves really trust Indian pharmacies. They prefer to get like American and European sourced drugs, even living in India. So I don't know why Americans would go there anyway. But, you know, the important thing is that people were having trouble finding, you know, decent supply of ivermectin and at a decent price, right? So a lot of American pharmacies are kind of price gouging or they've run out of the cheap supply. They had to go back to their suppliers. And now people are telling me they're being charged at other places $700 to $1,000. So I did the work. I got staff to call hundreds of pharmacies all over the country looking for the cheapest possible sources of ivermectin. So we have like 4 or 5 pharmacies that'll service every state. They'll mail it to you within a few days. And it's only like $70 to $150 for even more than most people prescribe you. I prescribe you like 14 days straight just in case you need to go over 5 days of ivermectin. The other medications I recommend, like the fluvoxamine, that's great in a hospital setting, or even at home, you know, just it works really well. You can get that from a local pharmacy still. You know, they haven't, you know, put a red flag on it. The pharmacists are still allowed to dispense it. I mean, I know one doctor, he actually had to, you know, send his one of the doctors in California had to send, you know, his pharmacy a letter from his lawyer, you know, threatening to sue them, you know, because he was treating people on the ground in this town and he really, you know, they needed it right away, right? And this is the important thing. You know, we might be able to find a pharmacy in our town, but it's going to take some legwork. We might have to call a couple of places and it's just easier to just use mail order and it's a lot cheaper oftentimes.
But what about the post office? Aren't they going to find it being mailed?
So the post office is only seizing it at the border. You know, for now they're allowing interstate commerce. You know, I don't know what's coming next, you know, but I mean, they don't care about like fentanyl and, you know, actually dangerous drugs. You know, it's like they have these, you know, laws and regulations on the books and they just use them when it's convenient, right? I mean, they're not seizing, you know, things like Viagra, you know, coming from India, you know, even though it's a prescription drug, right? You know, this was the excuse that was given by the FDA and the USPS to one of the patients who ordered from overseas that, you know, it's a prescription drug and it didn't say RX only on the box. This isn't even one of the things listed on the FDA website that you need from an overseas prescription. I mean, they have a list of things that they look for to seize and destroy medications from overseas. That's not even one of the things listed on their website. But, you know, they're just coming up with excuses. If they don't have one excuse, they'll use a different excuse. I mean, they also want actually a doctor's prescription in the package coming from overseas. So it's just not worth it to take the chance. And honestly, like, you can actually get cheaper ivermectin from the U.S. pharmacies I've sourced. You know, and if you can't afford my doctor's fee, you can ask us for a discount. You can ask us to waive our fee. I'm just trying to get it to everyone who needs it. And you need it in your medicine cabinet right now.
Yeah, see, I said this to a family member in another state today that I got a prescription phoned in for. And I said, you don't understand, okay? I said, you don't understand. You have been given a gift, okay? I have gotten this doctor to call this in to your pharmacy. Your pharmacy has filled it, which is a miracle in itself, that we've gotten a doctor and we've gotten it filled and it's sitting there. And you need to get your tail end over there and pick it up, because there are families right now that would almost kill for this, and you don't realize what you have. The family member does not realize what I'm talking about. I don't know, they live in a bubble. But I'm like, you need this, and you need it on hand, and you're being given a gift, and there are other people that would love to have your situation. So get your act together, get to the pharmacy, and pick it up. But they had no clue. They thought I was talking crazy talk when I'm trying to tell them what it is I've gotten in their possession to have in the case of an emergency. They are oblivious that this is that valuable now.
Yeah, I mean, my mother actually just took it, and it was probably Omicron. I mean, we couldn't sequence the virus, but it was, you know, it was COVID, and it was probably Omicron. She felt better within hours of taking ivermectin, and she could actually feel it wearing off. And I hear this over and over again, like you were saying, you feel better right away almost.
Yes, within 12 usually. Hours.
So the important thing is it works best if you take it early. And even people who are low risk, they need to still take this seriously for now, because actually, you know, there's this misconception that was perpetuated by the CDC. They took Imperial College of London. You know, they've been making these ridiculous, you know, projections since the beginning of the pandemic. So their latest ridiculous projection was how quickly Omicron would take over Delta. So they projected at the beginning of December that it would be like 75% of cases by the end of December. Actually, when they actually sequenced the virus in the United States, it was only something like 23% of cases were Omicron at the end of December. So like, you know, just a week ago. So we still have a lot of Delta in this country. It's not all Omicron yet. Right. So people need to be aware of that. And also that even, you know, young, healthy people sometimes end up with what's called long COVID. You know, it's not actually a live virus, but the spike protein gets stuck in your body in these macrophage cells, which are part of your immune system. And it causes like this chronic fatigue syndrome. You can't think straight. You have no energy. You know, sometimes you can't sleep. Your heart's racing, all kinds of, you know, weird symptoms and really sometimes disabling. I mean, I've seen like even like as young as 13 years old, I've seen a girl utterly like disabled from not even the vaccine, but from COVID itself. And usually it doesn't hit young people. I haven't seen anyone under 10 have any problems. It's really rare under 20. I mean, it's extremely rare, but still, you know, once in a while I've had to treat long COVID under 20. I wouldn't treat my kids under 10, but you might consider ivermectin, you know, 10 to 20. And 20 and above, you know, like 20 to 55 is really like where the long COVID is the worst, especially 30 to 55. And sometimes it's triggered by exercise, sometimes it's triggered by junk food. And you've got to be kind of careful with your diet exercise for about 30 days after the first symptom of COVID. And interestingly, you actually don't want to exercise for the first 30 days. You know, usually a doctor will tell you exercise more. In this case, you really need to exercise less and try not to push it for the first 30 days. Give your immune system a chance to calm down and get rid of the spike protein from your body. Because if you do something that kicks up, you know, exercise kicks up good inflammation usually, but with the spike protein in your body, it can cause, you know, problems. And this is the same spike protein you're getting from the vaccines. You know, there's so many things we can cover, you know, there's so many things that are important to talk about, but I think the main thing is you got to take it seriously for now. You know, it's probably a bioweapon, like you were saying before, and we don't know what are the long-term consequences. Even if you feel like you got through it fine, no symptoms even, you still have spike protein in your system and your body's reacted to it. What's going to happen 10, 20, 30 years from now, right?
And we don't know,
if you didn't. We have no idea, right? And the crazy thing is that after the vaccine started, we're seeing like adverse events being reported like continuously, right? Like the vaccine injections in the U.S. have kind of leveled off, right? Like most people who wanted it took it already. A lot of people are deciding not to go back for the third and fourth injections, but still the rate of rise of adverse events from the vaccine continues. It hasn't, like, the slope hasn't leveled off the way the vaccine injections have leveled off. So people are still reporting to VAERS side effects at the same rate, right? So, like, there are acute side effects that some people get them within a few weeks or months, and some people get them, you know, 6-7 months or a year later, and people are probably going to be having side effects from this vaccine and possibly even from COVID infections probably for years, right? Like, you know, it's one thing people don't understand about their organs is there's an idea called organ reserve. So you have, like, extra reserve capacity in your body, right? So you can lose like half your liver and you not even notice it, right? So what if, you know, COVID is actually giving us a hit and we don't realize it, right? Like it could take out half your liver or like, you know, a quarter of your heart capacity, or like, you know, 50% of your kidney capacity or your lung capacity, and you might not even notice it. You know, if you're not pushing yourself to the limit physically every day, like an Olympic athlete or something, you might not even notice that you've taken a hit like it was 10 years of smoking or something, right? So people may be having problems. So it's important to take this seriously, because these drugs, they're so safe, right? Like, why not treat it with ivermectin at least, right? You get COVID, just take like, you know, 5 days minimum. If you start on day one, 5-6 days ivermectin, and just kind of rest easy, because it binds to the spike protein, it gets the COVID out of your body, it prevents it from multiplying. I mean, it just has so many positive effects.
Let me ask you about,
it's kind of like this insurance policy, right, for the future.
Let me ask you about, let me see if I'm saying it right. I got it in front of me. Azithromycin?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on that antibiotic with my ivermectin. Do most people need an antibiotic to go with that ivermectin?
So I know Zev Zelenko, you know, he has his own protocol. Everyone, you know, there's different protocols that work really well. And so he uses azithromycin a lot with ivermectin. I don't think it's actually necessary, but what I've been using is ivermectin and fluvoxamine. I know he was using hydroxychloroquine for a while with azithromycin as well. So sometimes if people request it, if they're convinced that they really need the azithromycin, I'll send it in for them. With the protocol I'm using, you know, I've treated more than like, probably close to 5,000 at this point, definitely more than 4,500 acute COVID cases. You would have expected me to see at least 300 hospitalizations and 5 deaths with that many patients if I had done, you know, what the NIH and the CDC and the FDA would have you do in your local hospital, just go home and sit around and wait until you can't breathe. I actually only saw 5 hospitalizations, no deaths, you know, and that was with ivermectin and fluvoxamine. And a lot of my patients actually just refused the fluvoxamine. It's really about how quickly you take the ivermectin.
So tell me
if
about
you
the,
take it.
What is that second thing you're talking about?
That's an SSRI. It's an antidepressant, actually. It's
You mentioned that earlier. Okay.
Like more than 35 years. And like I said, it's like, you know, some people are hacking the system in hospitals. They're telling their doctor, hey, I have depression and I've been on, you know,
but what does the drug actually do? Like, what does it do?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, COVID is not, you know, depression. It's not a parasite. You know, why do we use ivermectin? Why do you use fluvoxamine? They have primarily, like, they have some antiviral effects and anti-inflammatory effects, both of them. And so COVID is a two-step disease. First of all, it's the virus replicating, and then it's the inflammation, especially in the second week, caused by the virus and the spike protein. So you got to hit it in both ways, right? You got to have an antiviral in the first few days, and you got to have an anti-inflammatory the entire time, really, and especially in the second week. And some people will throw in, like, an antihistamine. You know, it's over-the-counter, so we tell people, get some, you know, Claritin or Zyrtec and some Pepcid, which is also an antihistamine. And take those twice a day, the over-the-counter doses. You know, so fluvoxamine, it hits the sigma-1 receptor. It's an anti-inflammatory effect. It helps thin the blood a little bit. You know, COVID causes clotting, so it has a blood thinning effect as well.
Pepcid?
No, the fluvoxamine.
The
SSRI, the fluvoxamine. We do recommend aspirin for most people, full strength adult aspirin, to help with that as well. So fluvoxamine, it may actually help prevent the binding of the virus to the cell, and so it kind of has perhaps an antiviral effect. So it has a lot of possible effects for COVID. One of the things is it stabilizes the platelets so they don't clump together and cause clots, and it prevents them from dumping their serotonin into the bloodstream, which has also an inflammatory effect if you let that happen. So fluvoxamine has all these, you know, effects. And actually the most important thing that I always forget to mention, it's really important to know, is that ivermectin doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier and fluvoxamine does. So a lot of times COVID does affect the brain. The inflammation gets into the brain. Sometimes the virus actually gets into the brain. You know, you sometimes see evidence of spike protein on autopsy in the brain. I don't know how, you know, COVID itself, you know, makes the blood-brain barrier more leaky. So it's possible, and some people ivermectin is getting in because of the leaky blood-brain barrier. But if you want to be sure you have something that's going into the brain, you know, the fluvoxamine is what it is, and that's the drug that'll attack COVID and inflammation in your brain. And so many people develop long COVID; they have like this brain fog, and they can't think straight anymore, and it's or they have like, you know, problem with taste and smell. You know, the smell, it's basically the neurons are like just direct outshoots.
Like my
brain.
Wife that's, lost, you know, she lost her taste. She's lost her taste now for like 5 days.
Yeah. So that's really common, and you know for sure that it's COVID when that happens. And fluvoxamine often helps.
Will her taste come back?
It usually does. Yeah, I mean, it's just, very rarely it'll take months. Usually it's, you know, it's back in a, you know, a few weeks. I actually had COVID at the start of the pandemic. It lasted for about, the taste and smell lasted for about a couple of months, and it was just so bizarre, right? Like, you actually don't end up losing weight because you, I mean, most people don't, because you still have an appetite, you just don't enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't lose my taste, but nothing tastes good. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
I haven't lost my taste. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I should say that, because I think I've lost a little bit of my taste. I can taste it, but nothing tastes good. Okay, so
this is actually worse than losing your taste for some people. Some people, you know, they'll smell the worst smells, like these weird, horrible smells, or they'll have these terrible tastes, or things that used to taste good taste like disgusting. So this, unfortunately, is something that happened. And again, you know, it's like I see young people having this problem and other serious long COVID problems. And, you know, it's just not worth it, right? Like, you can get ivermectin. It's not too expensive. If you use the right pharmacy, you know, if you come to us, we'll hook you up with a pharmacy that's not too expensive.
So just so my audience knows, you're an internist, right?
Yeah, so I've worked in hospitals for more than 10 years. For the last year, I've just been focusing on COVID-19, and especially online, because there's so many people who can't get access to this, and the only way they can get it is to find a doctor online willing to prescribe it. The other difference with our website is that you can ask questions kind of indefinitely. So you can come back and type in your, you know, questions in the chat box, and I'll answer them, or one of my staff will answer them if they know the answer. And there's no time limit on that, whereas a lot of other websites that give you like a couple of weeks, you know, and then you're done. You know, then you have
to.
So
let me ask you a couple questions. I asked this of Dr. Peter McCullough the other night, but when I had this at its height, okay, stabbing pains in like my kidneys, my liver, my thighs, wake up like someone stabbing knives in my thighs, both of them at the same time. It's like, okay, I can understand these feelings of someone stabbing you in the leg on one leg, but both legs. And just your lower extremities, from your lower back down, lots of stabbing pains. What is that?
So, you know, it can be a number of things, right? It could be microclotting that's affecting the nerves in your body, you know. So, you know, some pressure on the nerves is a possibility. But also just like diffuse microclotting can cause, you know, cramping. And oftentimes with just viral infections, you do get a lot of lactic acid buildup in your muscles. And that usually causes more like an ache that you get the flu. So the stabbing pain, it sounds more like specific nerves were actually involved and either inflamed or there was pressure on them from like clots from outside of the, you know, so like the blood vessels around the nerves, if they get microscopic clots, they can kind of press on the nerves and cause pain. So it's very common. You know, I see a lot of people with, you know, body pains and also with severe headaches, right? That's another
okay,
common.
So there's what I want to talk to you about. My wife, she's been this all this tingling at the back of the head, and I for a long time felt like I had fluid on the top of my head. I would wake up in the middle of the night feeling like I had all this fluid on the top of my head and pressure on the top of my head. And then, of course, you get caught in these weird dreams, and you just keep dreaming about the same stupid, you know, I was dreaming about camera equipment and technology in the studio, and I would wake up thinking, this is a dumb, boring dream, and I could not snap out of having this same dream over and over. So there's something neurological going, but the wife has got the headache going in the back of the head, the tingling going in the back, feeling, you know, very dizzy, and it sounds like this stuff is definitely hitting the neurological area, correct?
Yeah, and I, you know, the primary issue is inflammation. Basically, with every disease, it's like what's causing the inflammation. In this case, it's the spike protein, and the inflammation has different, you know, effects. It can directly affect your nerves, but oftentimes with COVID, it's like the microscopic blood clots and the vascular inflammation. So vascular beds permeate every single area of your body because everything, every cell needs blood supply, right? And so the nerves are being supplied by these arteries that are these arterioles, these tiny little, this tiny microvasculature where the blood is coming in, and those are inflamed. And so that's probably the cause of the neuropathies and the nerve pains and the headaches and the, you know, the brain fog and the weird dreams and everything. And this is actually one of the treatments that a lot of people don't focus on. You know, it's the aspirin, which is basically like I give to almost everyone across the board unless you've had like terrible, like a stomach ulcer or something. And especially for long COVID or people whose lungs get wiped out, right? Like you need to up the anti, you need to add like sometimes Plavix, which is used for, you know, heart attacks and stents sometimes, to the aspirin. And sometimes you have to go beyond that. You have to add like a Lovenox injection, another blood thinner. So some people need like a stack of like three different blood thinners to deal with the microclotting. So the microscopic clotting is oftentimes, you know, the pathology that's causing a lot of the problems. It can cause like your lungs to get wiped out, your oxygen level to go low, low, your brain not to, you know, respond properly, the pains, you know, all these symptoms can often be when you didn't treat it and hit it really hard in the beginning. Sometimes you end up like with long COVID. If you have like low oxygen or you have, you know, persistent headaches or brain fog, sometimes, you know, we'll try ivermectin, fluvoxamine, we'll try, you know, steroids sometimes. And sometimes we'll have to add on these additional blood thinners for people. So, And in the beginning, it's important. So a lot of my patients took the fluvoxamine, which has its own blood thinning effects, and the aspirin, and they didn't end up with these kind of problems. So I really can't stress it enough. You got to treat it on day one, right? Don't even wait until it's confirmed. You're waiting too long, right? These drugs, you know, take them. If for some reason, like very rarely, the fluvoxamine will cause some side effects, we can switch out to Prozac 30 milligrams. That works just as well usually, but with fewer side effects. It just doesn't have like the original data was with fluvoxamine, you know, but Prozac has the same effect as fluvoxamine, so people are using that now. So it's better to try the drugs and then see, okay, this doesn't work for me, maybe I'll replace it with something else, than to like, a lot of people will just like wait.
Well, that's what I did. See, I waited a week to see if I could knock
this.
That's way too long. I had the drugs in the cabinet, but I was saving them for other family members. And I also was thinking, well, what if I have to overnight some to some, you know, my in-laws or something? But after a week, I was going backwards big time. Within 12 hours of getting on ivermectin, I started making the turn. 48 hours later, between the antibiotic and the ivermectin and the zinc, you know, I'm still tired.
Yeah, that's common.
You know, I told my wife tonight before I went on the air, I said, I'm looking forward to going to bed. You know, that's right now every day. Every day I get up and I think, I can't wait to get back in bed, because right now your energy level's not back. It's way better than it was. I mean, it was like nothing. Yeah. But I had this in February of 2020. As I told the audience, I had a guy come into the studio from China in February of 2020, and within 3 days later, I was sick as a dog, and I had all the symptoms, okay, for COVID. So I don't know if this is Delta or what I've caught, you know, what this is, but it took me months to get my energy level back. I'm afraid, having waited, which you're saying people shouldn't do, having waited, that it's probably now I've got it too seriously to the point that now it's probably going to take several months to get my energy level back.
So you'll just have to see. I mean, you can keep taking the ivermectin. I mean, I actually recommend you just keep taking the ivermectin every day until you see real significant improvement. I mean, I've seen people take it for like a month or 2 months straight every day. I mean, it doesn't usually cause any problems, right? Like, it's such a benign drug. I mean, it's like safer than Tylenol.
Yeah, I have zero side effects from it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the same with most people. You know, there's actually, you know, there's a lot of work being done on long COVID. So what you had before was long COVID. It was this like these persistent symptoms after the virus was gone, lasting for months, right?
Yep.
They can be different things, but
oh, yeah.
You know, there's a COVIDlonghaulers.com is a website that I work with. They do blood testing that specifically diagnoses long COVID, and they use this HIV drug called Maraviroc. You know, it sounds scary because it's for HIV, but it's really a safe drug. I've seen like one in like 500 people have like a problem with it, and it was just a limited, you know, self-limited problem. They stopped it, the problem went away. Extremely safe drug, and it works like a charm for most long COVID patients. But I do start people, you know, who have long COVID on ivermectin. You know, if that doesn't work, I try fluvoxamine. If that doesn't work, I try a steroid. And then there's even other things. Like I said before, you can try aspirin and, you know, Plavix and stronger blood thinners like Xarelto that are used for, you know, atrial fibrillation. There are blood clots and stuff, you know, usually in the hospital, or even like strokes. So there are a lot of things that can be done. They're generally safe. I haven't, you know, I've treated probably thousands at this point of long COVID itself. And these people, you know, it's harder to treat than the acute infection. You know, you want to try to treat it early. If you end up with long COVID, sometimes people have to be treated for a couple of months before they really notice, you know, the needle moving and they notice themselves feeling better. Sometimes it's like miraculous. You know, some people are just fast responders. The first long COVID patient I remember, I wasn't even sure he had long COVID, and he had to like push me to like, come on, it's probably long COVID, right? He had no positive test for COVID, but I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, you might have tested too late, or it might have been false negative or whatever. And so I gave him ivermectin. Literally within days, he was like completely cured. I mean, he had no symptoms left. We had to give him one more course a few weeks later of ivermectin because he it kind of started to come back a little bit. But, you know, again, he felt better within days. So that's maybe like 5 to 10% of people have this like sudden, you know, just relief with ivermectin with long COVID. And other people, you have to kind of like work at it a little bit
longer.
Okay,
so let me ask you this before we run out of time here. It says here from your... The our mutual friend CJ sent me this over about you. You've been attacked three times by two separate state medical boards and had dozens of subscriptions thrown out by corporate-controlled pharmacists, leading in many cases to an excusable delay of life-saving care for the patients. So three times by two separate state medical boards. Why are they going after you?
Yeah, so I can only guess because they don't tell you who's reporting you to the medical board. Anyone can report you. And my guess is that it's like family members because, you know, in those reported cases, the pharmacist actually didn't report. Like the pharmacist dispensed the drug, right? Like if they had wanted to report me, I would think that they wouldn't have dispensed it. But they gave the patient the drug. The patient took it. They had no problem with it. And I think it was like family members who were upset that like grandma's, you know, taking ivermectin or maybe she's decided not to take a vaccine and take ivermectin instead or whatever, right? So that it's just, you know, guesswork. You know, it might have been patients reporting me. I have no idea. It can also be pharmacists. So one pharmacist threatened, you know, they sent me a fax saying, if you don't stop sending me these prescriptions, I will report you to, you know, our medical board and the medical board in this other state that you're licensed in. You know, I'll send it to all the medical boards I know of that you work with. So just terrible what's happening. I mean, I think some people are brainwashed.
What a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the terrible thing, right? Like, what did our response to the Nazis, right, was the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was like a third rail. Like, you couldn't touch Nazism or, you know, the Nuremberg Code. That was like something that in the Western world, no one could argue with, right? We would never go back to doing that, right? And yet, a European head of state literally said, like, in public that we should get rid of the Nuremberg Code. I mean, this blew my mind.
Yeah.
I thought this was like something that we couldn't talk about, right? Like,
right.
How could we ever say that, you know, that we're going to get rid of those protections we tried to put in place to prevent something like that from ever happening again? I mean, it blows my mind. It doesn't compute, right? It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. You're an excellent guest. You're really an excellent guest. I want to get you back. You know what I like about you is you just spill the information. I don't have to try to dig it out. You just start spilling the information. And I know our audience loves that as well because that's what this show is about. We're about information. We're about knowledge, right? And you're just spilling the knowledge and the information. You're an easy guest to have. You're an easy guest to interview. Obviously very up on what's happening. So we're going to definitely be getting you back. And I do hope people will visit your website, mygotodoc.com. Mygotodoc.com. It's been under your name the whole time. So you're probably going to get slammed with a lot of emails and chats with people because we have a very big audience, Doctor. So
awesome.
We're going to be getting you back. And if you have anything else you want to report, you get a hold of me, get my text number from CJ or whatever, but get a hold of me. Anything comes up, don't wait for me to call you. We'd like to get you back on anytime you hear anything. And if you get a chance, go to frankspeech.com and listen to my interview with Attorney Tom Renz and the clips we're about to play from the Supreme Court because these people are saying the dumbest stuff, as you know, and we're going to play it and let people hear it. It's frightening.
It is. Yeah, I mean, these are the people in charge of our laws, right? That's really sad. I mean, they need real information from people who are on the front lines, and this is the problem. You know, the pharmaceutical companies have captured our government, right? They've captured the regulators, and this is really the definition, not just Nazism, but fascism itself, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the way that Mussolini defined fascism. It's like corporate control of your government. So
we have
corporatocracy, right? Like,
that's
the corporations.
Right. Yep, big government, big business merging. And we were reading a legal document the other day from filed by several people, including John Dooley, the Undertaker from Great Britain that I've interviewed, and they filed a case to The Hague on human rights violations, and they interviewed a bunch of Holocaust survivors, and they were going into great detail of big government and big pharma and the medical establishment and how it all came together to carry out the T4 program and the murdering of disabled people and eugenics and active euthanasia and then the Holocaust, and they're saying, this is all happening again. So I'm in 100% agreement with what you're saying. You understand the history and you understand the medicine, and we really appreciate the fact that you're trying to help people. This is the takeaway, folks. He's running something here to help people, the American people, stay out of these death centers, get treatment, and survive. And I cannot tell you the number of people that email us, text us, call us, begging us to have access to someone like Dr. Hadier here. So I hope you'll go to his website, mygotodoctor.com. Dr. Hadier, thank you for being with us on a Friday night.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stay in touch, all right?
Yep, sure will.
All right, folks, that's his website. Go to it. Check it out. Very important.